Welcome to Abergavenny Baptist Church, growing in faith and friendship.
And I suppose this is a time now for us to leave everything behind us that would distract us from just focusing on our Lord. We need this time, don't we? We come Sunday and it's a special time for us to just think about Jesus, to think about our lives and how we can focus and praise Him here this day and in our lives, total lives. And in the last few months, all of us have difficult experiences. Sometimes we struggle with many things. And I must say that the Lord, over the last month, keeps giving me this wonderful psalm. And so I want to read it to you. And as I read it to you, I pray that the Holy Spirit will just cover us all with His words as I read it, and that you will be able to take these words and really sort of claim them, to own them for your own, because they're absolutely fabulous words. This morning as we were praying about the service, it was interesting that some of these words came up in the prayers, and it was delightful to know that sort of the guidance of God. And I'm going to read it. I'll read it from my Bible. I'm not quite sure if it fits exactly there, but I'll read it from my Bible. And I do pray now that all of us will be able to just take this in for ourselves. The Psalm of David, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, some people think this psalm is a psalm for funerals. Of course, it is a psalm for funerals in a way, because it is one of perhaps the most popular psalm. And this psalm gives great comfort. But I really believe that it's not just for death, but in life and in those difficult circumstances of life especially, that we can think about this psalm. And now, I have had an interesting weekend. I've had a friend with me. And all I can say is my cheeks are aching. They are aching from laughing all weekend. And I'd love to share you all the jokes we've been going back and forth, but I'm afraid I haven't got time for that. But what I would like us to share today, I'm hoping that Ewan Thompson, who our friend, is going to come up, and we're going to explore the psalm as a sort of way of, is this true in our living experience? So, Ewan, would you like to come and join me? It's only six verses, and for those of you who like words, there are these wonderful verbs in it. So we're going to go through some of the verbs, and we're going to go sort of line by line or verse by verse. Not quite sure, it's not that organized, but we'll see what we can do here. So the first line defines the whole psalm, because it says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's a present tense. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not talking about the past. He's not talking about the future. He's talking about the is. So, Ewan, does this work out for you? Could you give me one example of how the Lord is your shepherd? And tell us a little bit about yourself, because I haven't introduced you.
Yeah. For those who have not met me before, first of all, sorry. For what's to come. I have the privilege of serving the Lord in northeast China. To give you a bit of a geography for it, it's through Stephen Stella that I'm doing this. Our nearest city is Vladivostok. It's that far, and we're right above North Korea. Last September, when they had the nuclear test, we were in chapel, and the sermon had just finished, and literally when the last word of the sermon had finished, everything started shaking. This American lady next to me thought I was shaking her because she'd fell asleep. And she said, I wasn't asleep. And I said, I wasn't shaking you. So how is the Lord my shepherd? Very simply, because if you look at the Psalm 23, it's all in the present tense with some future tense. What he will do for me. What he does, what he is doing, what he is going to do with me. And so for me, being in a place that some people would say, that's a bit scary. Yes, it can be. Because we have to be incredibly disciplined in the way we work. Because we're not allowed to evangelize. We're not allowed to carry Bibles. But he disciplines. As it says, you know, he hems me in. He hems me in front and behind and by the sides. By his ministering angels. And as long as I trust in him, he never, ever, ever lets me down.
Oh, right. Trust is a big thing, isn't it? Trust is the huge... That's everything, isn't it? Trusting God. Well, the next line, we're going line by line a little bit, we read that the Lord, our shepherd, he makes us lie down in green pastures. So the green pastures we love, don't we? I mean, the idea of green pastures, it's beautiful, it's good food, the green grass is lush, and God wants us to feed on him, feed on these green pastures. But there's one word here that makes me sort of shrink. Oh, I'm terrible. I'm a rebel, really. Believe me, I'm a rebel. And the word that makes me shrink is it says, the Lord makes me. The Lord makes me to lie down. Oh, my gosh. I don't like that at all. I want to do it my way, right? I don't do it any other way but my way. So he makes me lie down. I've got lots of stories of my own about that, because I'm a rebel and I know he's had to make me lie down in the green pasture. It's always good in the end, but it's at the beginning. It feels like, really, God? Do you really want me to do that? Okay, a story. Do you have one?
Yes, I do. I do. Unfortunately, I do. Because unfortunately, when I go to speak, I've spoken around the country, I speak abroad, and... if you keep in mind that through my weakness, the weakness of this person here, he shows his glory. I'd come back from Africa, and I went to my first house group in the church I was in, and a retired minister and his wife had apparently been in Newcastle, and they, in the service, had received scripture for me. And they didn't know I was coming back from Africa. And they were going to wonder how they were going to get the message to me. And there I was sitting in the house group. And they went, Ewan. And I really had a tough time in Africa. Really, I did not want to go anywhere. I just wanted to be home. And they said, Ewan, we've got some scripture for you. We've got Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10. And I went, really? Thank you. And I didn't want it. That was making me. I knew the Lord wanted me to go somewhere. And I didn't want to go. I really didn't know. And I was receiving it, but going, la, 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 like Jonah. La, 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 la. 2 months later, I am Because I thought, oh no, he's going to send me somewhere horrible again and I'm going to have a horrible time and it's not going to be good. He's going to make me go. And I'm sitting there watching the TV and I'm reading Genesis, the first version, Genesis 12, where Abraham leaves his country, going to another, doesn't know where he's been, where he's going. And on the TV comes a film called Fly Away Home, where this little Canadian, not a Canadian girl, but a girl in Canada, raises geese and flies them south so they can migrate. And as she arrives in the place where they're going to migrate, it says North Carolina. And I go, that's it. I'm supposed to go to North Carolina. Fantastic. They speak English. Wonderful. I'll be okay. And I told the minister, I said, can I come round? I've got to speak to you because I know where he's taking me. And I went round and I told him, it's North Carolina. It's fine. And we prayed together and he was fantastic. And he said, I've been there. It's wonderful. And we sat down and he said this prayer. Father God, thank you for bringing our brother Ewan to a point where he can obey you to go to North Korea. And I want to, and I went, no, no, Alan, no. Literally a chill went through my body. Literally a chill. And I did not want it. But within a year, I was in China. And within 3 months, I was in North Korea. And he covered it. And we are now.
And you like it there now?
Oh, I love it. I'm made for it. He made me for it. So when I trust him, I didn't trust him at the beginning, right? Now I'm going, okay, now you're just showing off. Yeah, now you're showing off. So that's it.
Yeah, so when we sort of, we have these sort of things that God, messages that God gives us sometimes. We've got to know them from God, but, and then it's sort of, we sort of argue with them a little bit. We wrestle with them a little bit sometimes. Mm. And then occasionally, well, and then he will send us, and then when we're sort of obedient, I suppose that's the word, when we're obedient and we do this, then he gives us this great joy, right? And great joy in the work. Amen. That he's got for us.
Amen.
And I think I remember we were talking in the going across the canal yesterday, and I'm thinking, and I don't, I'm going off track here, but
I was afraid of this.
You're afraid of this, yeah. He leads us, well, let's get to the lead one. I was thinking about, we talked about depression.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that...
I have family members who suffer from depression. And in that instance, you see, a family member lost their job. It was a very important job, a very high-risk job. And as a result, you see, we had to move from Wales to England. And I was just in my teens. And that's where my childhood ended, because everything was comfortable. I was in a Welsh Evangelical Church, and it doesn't matter which country you come from and to. This is not about, you know, one particular country. It's anything unfamiliar. And so, you know, leading us into a different situation was difficult at that time.
Right. So we don't like the word mix, but God will kind of, he also leads us. Now in, I had the children a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week, and we did something fun. We put this sort of scarf on our head, and I led them through this obstacle thing, and we were all talking about trusting. And life is like that, because sometimes we cannot see what's ahead of us. Mm. There are difficult things that come, and it's like sometimes there's some shocks that happen. Even this morning, neighbour called me and said her husband had just died with a heart attack. And it's like life brings these obstacles, these circumstances where nothing makes sense to us sometimes. Mm. Our common sense fails us even. Our friends may fail us. Our family might not understand us. And then we can turn to the Lord. We can turn to the great shepherd of the sheep.
Amen.
And I like the idea that we are his sheep. It's wonderful. Mm. And that he will lead us and that we can go down the paths only when we're trusting him, right? If we don't trust him, we sometimes go the wrong way and we land in the wrong places. But when we trust him, we land in the right places. And then Psalms 23, he tells us this great shepherd, our God, leads us beside quiet waters. And I was thinking about this, and I thought quiet waters is usually where it's a deep, isn't it? that, you know, when it rushes, it's usually over sort of shallow land, but where you get quieter waters, it's something deep. And it seems to be that the Lord sometimes takes us through those deep, difficult times to come out the other side, so that we can help those around us who've actually gone through those same things. I bet if I asked you now, most of you would be able to say, yes, I know the Lord helped me through this difficult time, and we can help others. And so these quiet times, these restoration times, I'm not sure if I can believe it if you say there are still times in your life. Are there quiet times?
It's interesting. Well, I have to be, the good news is I have to be quiet in China. But as Francis of Assisi said, you know, preach the gospel by all means. If necessary, use words. And here's the testimony of God's power in the weakness. You know, because I teach speech, and I teach a course of undergraduates where I take them from not being able to do anything through to them delivering, believe it or not, a speech in English of 20 minutes that they write in front of 120 people without a script and with PowerPoint that they go through. And it's an inspirational speech that they have to give, a motivational speech. And here's the point of how glorious God is. I can't say a word, but those students can say what they like, including I have, every year, I have 3 or 4 Christians. And I never tell them because I don't want to get them or me into trouble. But I say to them, you can say anything you like when you get up. And each one tells their testimony. And the feedback afterwards from the students, written down, because we have another course that we've developed where they have to give feedback on what they've listened to, because it's a listening course. And students keep saying, I didn't know God loved me. I didn't know there was a plan for my life. I didn't know that he would be there in the dark times. I thought it was just a Western thing. I didn't realize Jesus was born in Asia and that he belongs to me as well. And I'm sitting there smiling happily because the authorities can't say anything. Because it's them and the power of God acting into them, just being facilitated by a broken person like myself, is wonderful, that I could never do in 20 years of ministry there.
Oh, wonderful. Right. I'm going through the verbs. I found another one. Hang on just a sec. Guidance. He guides us. And I guess sometimes there's some lies out there. There's some lies about God's guidance. Because sometimes the world will tell us that success is the big car. Success is the right job. Success is the perfect family. But you know, that's lies, isn't it, really? Because it's lovely to have wonderful things. I'm not saying it isn't. But this is not the guidance. The guidance is not the kind of success. God leads us in a different way. God guides us into all truth. He will help us through the struggles. He won't say there is no struggle. He will lead us and guide us through the struggles. He will be our sure companion through those struggles. He will be our comforter through those struggles. And through each other too, as we help each other, because he uses our hands and our feet. And so we are to be the comforters. We are to be the companions through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And these paths that he leads us to, he guides us to, are paths of righteousness. They're not the paths of self-fulfillment, as the world will offer us. They are the paths of goodness. They are the paths of contentment, not with what the world offers, but our contentment with God. And David is so confident in God that he is able to say, even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, the most darkest, horrendous valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And now, Ewan, you know what's coming. The dark valleys.
Hmm.
Tell me about them.
The dark valleys for me are human failure. Not living up to... Because I come from a family of four, and I'm the youngest, you see. And living up to my own self-expectation of what I should be, what I must be, because of the society around me. But I'm constantly amazed in the last 4 or 5 years that through God's grace, it is all through God's grace, I meet people and somehow, for some reason, they go, wow, you're doing what? You're going where? You're giving this? And I have to keep saying to them, look, please don't. I don't deserve it. I really don't deserve it because it's him. I could never have done this. Those dark valleys, I only, when I rely on him, when I stop thinking about this world and I focus on what he is. And it's all about the verbs, as Stella said. It's the verbs. Like you've got by here, God is a spirit. Worship in spirit. Worship him in spirit and in truth. And when Jesus says in John 3:36, he who believes in him has eternal life. Not will have. We've got it. And we were talking on the path yesterday, and I was saying to Stella, look, you know, you've got your birthday coming up in May. What if Steve and I organized the biggest band, the biggest party, and we told you about it now? You're going to be absolutely excited now, because it's definitely coming. And we have our place in eternity, the reality, not this is a temporary thing. And the more I'm being in the situation where he wants me to be, the more that reality becomes real, and that this starts to move backwards, as Paul starts talking about. And it's bizarre, because you start to think about other realities as Jesus stands in front of Pontius Pilate and says, my kingdom is not of this world. So if his kingdom is not of this world, why am I worrying about this? And that's it, really.
Yeah. It's the dark valleys. Actually, they sort of, to me, they go along with our cup overflowing. Isn't that strange? Because, there are times in our life, with seasons, where everything seems to go all right. Right? And everything's all right, and we're happy, and it's okay. And I don't know, but my experience is that those are the times I forget God. And it's the times where I have the struggles and those really hard times that I go to God. And when I go to God at those hard times, I can avoid him for a long time if I want to. I can just sort of say, oh, well, we'll just forget all this difficult stuff. But it's in the hard times, and when I go to God in the hard times, that it is then we can actually find the Holy Spirit. And that we can find that our cup can actually overflow in those hard times, because it's this new kingdom, isn't it? It's this new kingdom that we are all, as Christians, looking forward to. And we have a taste of it here. Just a taste of the new kingdom here. And we look forward to the kingdom, which is heaven. And recently, I've just been thinking about us as a church. And I've been thinking about the roles we play, different roles we play in the church. And sometimes we are the shepherd, and sometimes we are the sheep. Sometimes we are the helper, and sometimes we are the ones that want to be helped, and need help. And we have those both going on all the time, I think. If it's a healthy church. We don't have a little bunch of shepherds that are continually good and beautiful and wonderful, and they're directing the lot of the sheep. I think we are both the shepherd and the sheep.
Amen.
There are times when I'm sat out there and I'm thinking, Lord, I really need prayer, and I have been too proud to come up here. I really have. Because really, I've wanted someone else. Normally, you can pray for yourself and pray to the Father, and you can, that's fine. But there are times when you want someone else to pray for you. And I've had many blessings in my lifetime when somebody has laid their hands on my head and really asked the Father what it is that, the problem. In fact, Steve this last week had a message like that. He was prayed for. And then also I prayed for a man who was needed healing this week. What I'm saying is we need each other. We need, as friend to friend, to be so aware of our needs. We need to be able to see the sadness on our face and say, Lord, you know, or Mary or Jim, can you pray for me? You know, I really need prayer. And the other person needs to believe it. We can take it to the great shepherd of the sheep. We can take all that we have, all our problems, to the great shepherd who is there for us at all times. In the New Testament, Jesus asked his disciple Peter to care for his sheep. And three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And each time, Jesus would answer, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Jesus knew that the work of a shepherd is hard. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. But first, Peter had to love the great shepherd of the sheep. I always like to think of it as my love in return to God's love, because I have such a puny love. I feel that it's God's love that, you know, that we are just responding to this incredible love of Jesus. And so when Peter answered, "Lord, you know that I love you," and Jesus would say, "Feed my sheep," because he knew it was a hard thing and that Peter needed to be sustained by the great shepherd Jesus. So, that's what I'd have to share with you today. There are times in our lives when we need to be the sheep, to be led, to be guided. There are times in our life when we need to be the shepherd to help the person that's sitting next to us. But mostly we need to keep being fed, come to the pastures, and follow the voice of our great shepherd. Ewan, I think we'll end with, do you want to talk about being a shepherd with your sheep and your students, maybe? Yeah, and then I'll end in prayer.
Right. Because as a lecturer, obviously I'm teaching, and bizarrely, you know, the Holy Spirit has provided me the chance, as I'm a historian by trade, with the chance to teach Western civilization. And part of that is teaching Christianity as a historical foundation of the West. And the whole point is that in that, I've never, ever felt insecure in being able to share certain things. And in this instance, I've been able to talk about the logic that's in the resurrection, that it all comes from a historical event. It's based upon not something that we have to examine in terms of years of degree courses. This is an event that's then witnessed by people who give evidence to it. And so in that, as a shepherd to my students, I've got 6 discipleship students. And what's wonderful is I can minister with them, and I don't have a ministry. I don't think of it as a ministry, because that sounds like ownership. God has a ministry, and he uses something weak like me to be able to talk in that environment. And then they are able to go out with 3 each, to whom they will disciple. And it's wonderful in that instance that we share. But I share my weakness as well. I share with them when I'm troubled, right? When I need to be in the green pastures, when I need to be beside still waters. And I always come back to the Word. I always come back to the Bible where I'll sit and I'll read and I'll listen to Him. Because I think that's a very important point. That sometimes they know, because you do. Children always think the parents know until they get to a certain age. But if they know that we're children following Him, they suddenly get a more responsible attitude and a more fellowship is going. And that's what I would say about what church is. It's that fellowship is bearing, being the body of Christ, where you have the lungs and the legs and the feet, and everybody is uniquely made to be able to be the body and minister to each other. That's what I think of.
Great. Bless wonderful. You. Well, I was going to end in prayer, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read that psalm again. I'm going to the great, and let's go now to the great shepherd of the sheep and listen to this psalm again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just pray that that will be with us this week as we go along our daily journey with our Lord.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about Abergavenny Baptist Church, please visit our website at abergavennybaptist.co.uk.